bother.
I was wondering if you got one you would sign.
I would love to.
And what was the scripture that you prayed over us?
I'll write it up.
Oh, perfect.
This is my life verse.
Is it?
145. And what I prayed over you is 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 9.
Perfect.
Thank you for getting that.
Of course.
I appreciate that.
Okay, one more and then you can.
Yes. To you or to someone
else? Oh, no, it's to me.
Okay.
It's all about me, new.
This is my life verse. It's 145. And then the one I prayed over you is 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 9. Thank you for getting this and supporting.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of neat.
Thank you.
How's
your son? My son's doing well. He is still incarcerated. He's doing well.
Oh, see, I missed that part.
Yeah, he is.
That's probably.
Yeah, I shared that at the banquet I did a couple of years ago when I was here. And he's about done. We're getting close to the end of this journey, which means redemption and restoration.
Good.
Starts in life and family. So, but he's doing great. I'll go and see him tomorrow.
Good.
Thank you for asking. I'm hot, and so I'm drinking a lot of this because I'm a little wired up.
When you said that about praying, I mean, if they're here, just hear me teach.
Yeah.
Jeannie looked at me and said, "Busted."
Busted.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I'm honoring my mother, so I won't hear the third session.
Of course, you should honor your mother. Absolutely. My mother lives in heaven. I'd love to get to honor her.
My mother, my sister, and her husband and I all went together and bought a house.
Wow.
Because my daughter is the only child in the family, and she's in California. We can help one another out, but.
That's great.
Yeah, it has its moments.
I bet it does, but
she doesn't even understand why I would come out on a Friday night. I don't know why you would do that, and therefore she can't understand why I'd like to stay for all of
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to get to sleep tonight. I said, you can't sleep with me.
Go to sleep. No.
Well, you know the dogs are waiting up where I'm in, and you know I can't go. Okay, Mother, I'm thank you, Jeannie.
I love it. That's great. Someone went to get me some, but thank you very much. I appreciate it. I know, I kind of got hot. It's kind of a hot day today, you know.
You never know.
And then I get wired up and I just make myself hot. That's ridiculous. Thank you.
This is Shannon. She's going to be the one speaking in the middle of yours.
Oh, good. I'll do a set.
I just want to meet you.
I'm so glad you did this.
I'm so honored.
So can I call you up when I kind of say
sure,
what's
happening? Sure, just whenever. I just roll with the flow.
That sounds good.
Okay. Roll with the flow. Check in for next talk.
Thank you. Can you hear me? It seems to me that I'm not.
Good. You hit it.
Okay, good. I'm just leaving it on the whole time. I guess the battery will.
You want me to turn it up? I can.
We'll take care of it. No, if you're in the back and you can hear, it's just, I'm not getting.
You're starting. It was your time to start.
In just about 2 minutes. Yes, ma'am, I'm going to start. Thank you. Oh, no, you have a question?
No. You need to get started. You need to get started.
Okay, I'm going to start about 2 minutes.
The sign-in sheet is on each table now. We're going to do it that way.
Oh, good. Okay. All right, excuse me. Let's see what this one's titled. Yeah.
Talk to them long enough, and their heart cry is, I want older women in my life, and I just truly desire that, and just many, many tears have come through that, and initially I thought, well, that's just this one girl, you know, and I talked to another girl, same thing, and so I said, I realized
thank you so much.
They need to get to know Carolyn and O'Neill, our women's minister. And so through that, we've started introducing the younger women with the older women. But upcoming, we're trying to move into some steps of intentionally placing older and younger women together. So be in prayer with that, Beth, about that. And just want to introduce Debbie. Thank you so much for coming.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me and having me back. I want to talk a little bit about mentoring and some of the processes and some of the principles behind that. I will say this about mentoring. It was not my idea. It's not Carolyn's idea. It's the Lord's idea. And you'll find that in Titus 2, 3 through 5, where the Lord says that I want the older women to teach or to train or to coach. He doesn't use the word mentor, but it really all means the same thing. But one thing that I've learned about mentoring is that people have different perceptions about what that is, what that means, how that plays out in a life. Let me illustrate it like this. People can, especially the younger generation, can look at mentoring and feel like and think that it's one thing. And when I say the younger generation, I'm typically talking from those about 35 years of age and below. And then those older generation, they can hear the word mentoring, and they can feel like and think and have a perception that it's something completely different than the younger generation. And I'll just say that I think that is a tactic of the enemy, that he kind of tells the younger, oh, it's this, this, and this, and they don't want that. And then he tells the older ones, oh, it's this, this, and this, and, well, they don't want that either. And then mission accomplished for him. You know, nobody's coming together to mentor and to step into one another's lives. Let me illustrate it like this. With my daughter Haley, I have two kids. Jared is 25 on February 2nd, and my daughter's 22. And when she was about 5 years old, we were in Shreveport, Louisiana, and we had pulled up to a red light. And right across the way at the corner were three little wooden crosses. Maybe you've seen that from time to time if you're in a neighborhood or somewhere. So obviously somebody had an accident there. And so there were these three wooden crosses. And I didn't see them until she pointed them out. And she said, why are those three crosses over there on the side of the road? And I said, well, baby, that means somebody had a car crash here at this intersection. And that means that three people died. And she, you know, I said, that's such a sad thing. But that's in memory of them. And we got about 10 miles down the road. This is about 10 minutes later. She looked over to me and she said, well, if you die in a car crash, do you want to be buried on the side of the road or in a cemetery? You know, in her mind, three people were buried there. You know, that's because that's what she has seen at a cemetery, that we had just been to a cemetery recently at the funeral of a loved one. And so in her mind, she saw it and she assumed it meant a certain thing. And that's sometimes what we can do in mentoring. The reason I'm passionate about this, the reason I love this, is because I'm a product of it. I know that it works. I'm here today because it happened to me. I have worked in women's ministry for 20 years. I worked at Prestonwood for 10 years. And I know that a mentoring ministry takes time. It takes effort. It takes really kind of massaging it and working it and keeping it set up and making it useful in the lives of women and bringing different ideas and different aspects. It's one of the things you really kind of have to work towards. It's unlike Bible study. Like, you get Bible study set up at a church and it just goes. I mean, women like it and they're committed to it and they start it and they finish it. This is not like that. And the reason I think that it's hard to do and hard to keep going sometimes is because the enemy knows the impact that it can have. When my mom died, I was 23 years old. My mom was 40. I had a five-week-old baby boy. Jared was 5 weeks old at that time. My grandmother owned a bar called Bodacious in Natchitoches, Louisiana. I hope you've never been there, but when I say that, a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, I know the joint. Anyway, I did not have godly grandmothers. I did not have godly aunts. I did not have godly relatives that were women in my life. And I found myself, to say it was a point of desperation would be an understatement. My mom was 40. My dad was an alcoholic, and I have two brothers, both of which have struggled with alcoholism. And alcoholism eventually took my dad's life. My mom's the one that made sure we were in church. And so I found myself at a place, and really even at a place with the Lord. I was not happy. This didn't feel fair to me. This did not feel right to me. This felt cruel at best, why he would do such a thing. And I had no one to help me with a different perspective until I enrolled at the mentoring ministry. Back then, we called it Heart to Heart at Willow Point Baptist Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. I was a part of that ministry for 9 years, the entire time that my husband and I were there. And I'm here today, other than the providence of God and his work in my life, I'm here because other women made a spiritual investment in my life. God used other women to pour into my life. It's the reason that I'm here today. And who knows that you might step into the life of a woman, that you might pour into her, that you might begin to meet with her. And who knows that she might be the director of a women's ministry at one of the largest churches, or she might be the leadership director at Women of Faith, some nationally known organization, because you took the time to pour into her life. I'm telling you, that's why I'm here today. But let me go back to a little bit of the backstory. Let me go back to help you see how the ripple effect of this takes place. Because one woman, Oswald Chambers, says this in his devotional, My Utmost for His Highest. I love it. It says, one woman is of priceless value to God's kingdom, and you may be that woman. When my mom was 15 years old, she left home. She ran away from home and she married my dad, who had been drinking from the time that she met him. My mom did that to get out of a let me just say, a very unhealthy, unhappy home life. So she left that, and she married my dad, and they moved to Dowdell Street in Shreveport, Louisiana. My mom did not finish high school, and she left that terrible environment that she had been raised in. My mom told me this story as I sat on the edge of her hospital bed about 3 weeks before she stepped into heaven. I had never heard this in my life. It's something that she just had not told me a lot about. And that day, a lot of people, my mom was not expected to live, but just a few more days. She ended up living 3 more weeks. But all the family had gathered that day, and she sent everybody out of the room, her mother, my dad, my brothers, and she sat me down on the end of the bed. She said, "I want to tell you some things." She said, "Some things I'm taking to the grave with me, and you never need to know. It stops with me and this generation, and no one will ever know those things. But there's some things I need you to know, because, Debbie, I can't help but believe that somehow your life is intricately, as a woman, your life is involved, and your life has now been affected by some things that you don't even know about." She said after she married my dad, and they moved to Shreveport, Louisiana, they lived in a little trailer, little white trailer. And one morning, she got up and just was overwhelmed with the hopeless situation that her life was in. My mom was not a Christian. My mom had never been to church a day in her life by that point. And she got up that morning, and my dad had gone to work, and thought about taking her own life. She sat at her dining room table all alone and contemplated suicide. Wouldn't it just be easier? Wouldn't it just end the pain that I'm in if I just checked out? And I promise you, when women begin to entertain those thoughts, the enemy will be quick to avail himself to those. You're right. The best thing you could do, the easiest thing in the world, do it. Do it. And she just couldn't bring herself to do it. And she got on a different train of thought, and she went outside and she started planting some flowers. She said, "I'm going to do something to brighten my day. I'm going to do something to help this situation." So she started planting some flowers out in front of the little trailer that she lived in. And she was crying as she did that. Well, right across the way was another lady's house, and her name was Miss Jean. And Miss Jean was washing her dishes, and her window happened to overlook my mother's front yard where she was planting those flowers. And she was watching my mother plant flowers and wiping tears. And she put down a dish towel that she had that day washing dishes and came across a little white fence to where my mom was. And she introduced herself. She said, "My name is Miss Jean, and I live right across the way. And I just happened to notice you through my kitchen window. Are you okay?" And my mom did what any Southern woman would do, any good, strong Southern woman. My mother said, I'm fine. Had thought about suicide that morning and wiping tears, but she's fine. She's doing just fine. I'm fine. And so Miss Jean said, "Well, I noticed that you're new here." They started a conversation, and Miss Jean invited my mom to go to church with her the next day, which was Sunday. My mom had never been to church, and she said, "Well, I've tried everything else in life. I guess I should try religion." And then she happened to remember she did not own a dress. She said, "I better pass, because I'm sure your church doesn't allow jeans." And Miss Jean said, "My church most certainly allows women to wear jeans. I'm going to pick you up at a certain time, take you to church." And Miss Jean took my mom to church the next day, to Calvary Baptist Church in Shreveport, Louisiana, where my mom met Jesus. And for the first time in her life, she heard how the Lord will not only redeem, but He will restore some terrible things that had happened in her life. And she gave her life to Christ that day. She came home and told my dad, and in time, my dad, too, came to know the Lord, and they started going to church, and she joined a ladies' class there at that church. Carolyn, they didn't call it women's ministry back then, but that's exactly what it was. A group of women, they were in a Bible study class together. They called themselves the Deborah class, and it was through that class that she became, during the time in that class, she became pregnant with me, and when I was born, she named me Deborah Jean. After a group of women that poured into her life, and after one woman who put down a dish towel and invited my mom to church that day. What you need to know is that one act not only changed my mother's life, it changed my life, and it changed the course of history. Because, see, society would say, and statistics can prove, that what happened to my mom growing up would happen to me. and it would be cycles that would be repeated in our generation. But society fails to factor in the redemptive power of Jesus Christ at work in the life of one woman. He failed to factor in the impact that one woman, the influence that one woman could have in the life of another woman. And those women in that class bought my mom a Bible, which she did not have. They began to teach her the books of the Bible, started with the very basics. They taught her about Moses and about Abraham and Noah and the ark and all those stories that I grew up with that took for granted that my mom had never heard. And they poured into my mom. Now, what I need you to know about that is, you know what? My mom didn't look like those ladies that day when she walked into that church. She didn't dress like them. She didn't talk like them. And she didn't smell like them. She was different. But they received her into their group and into their lives, and it changed everything. That's why the enemy fights so bad about a mentoring relationship. That's why he can't stand when a mentoring ministry gets started at a church, because he knows, bummer, history is about to be changed because one woman has stepped into the life of one woman. Shannon, I want you to come and share a little bit of your story, how your life has been changed as a result of one woman coming into your life.
Well, I didn't know this. Our stories are very similar. And but my life really changed. I had a grandmother that had me in church and really poured into me. And some of the women that are in here I've known since I was born. And so I had some older godly women around me. My grandmother always took me with older people. That was a part of my life. I mean, from little tiny knee high, I was going to things where people were singing hymns, and that was my life on the weekend. But Monday through Friday, my life was really different. And I remember thinking, oh, the weekend, it's going to change. And I had so much anxiety about that because I knew what I had to go back to. But God was good and God was faithful. And as a young woman, God used my brother's wife, my sister-in-law. I would say out of all the women that have poured into my life, she ministered to me. And I call what she did it kind of a lifestyle mentoring. I remember the first time I came home from college, I was a mess. I was a complete mess. I had dated the wrong person. But I always knew I belonged to Jesus. I always knew that he had called me, that I was saved. But I didn't know how to walk with Jesus. And I remember coming back after being a flight attendant for a couple of years and moving back to Houston. And she bought this orange book, and it had stick figures of Paul and Timothy on it. And I remember we just giggled going, and she's like, I'm going to teach you this book. And so we worked through the book, and the book helped me, but her life helped me more. She had young children, and especially for y'all that are moms right now in this busy season, sometimes mentoring can be hard, and we can hold up with our family. But I think that there's a young generation out here who's going, would you just let me see how a family is? Would you just let me watch you and be a part? And that's what she did for me. I mean, I rode to carpool. I mean, sometimes she did minister and pray over me. I mean, she prayed a lot over me. But a lot of times the healing came just by being with them. One of my sweet friends, a girl that I have poured into, I've known since she was in high school, and now she's 30 years old, and one of her phrases is, hospitality is healing. Hospitality is healing. And I think that a lot of us are under that yoke of chaos, can't have anyone over syndrome, because there's all this pressure that we feel of how our lives are looking, and our lives are busy. And sometimes, I'm not saying bring people in your messy house, but sometimes we just got to bring people in to fold our clothes with us, especially if you're a mother of young children, and yet you have this yearning outside of your life to pour into the younger generation, and you just have to kind of bring them alongside you. But that's what she did. And I remember, and she corrected me. I was reading in 1 Thessalonians when Paul was talking to the church of Thessalonica, that church. And he says that we came gospel with you, but I shared my life, my breath. That word, it literally means breath, like breathing into the person. It means in the here and now and the after. And in the here and now, she shared her life with me. And at times it involved, you know, encouraging and exhorting. And other times she corrected me. I remember standing in her kitchen. I will never forget it. It was one of those things like a loving rebuke, you know. Wounds of a friend can be trusted. And she looked at me and she said, Shannon, you are like a wild horse. Because I kind of had done a lot of things on my own. That was my nature. I was a go-getter. I just had to learn how to do. And when you have that have to do, it's hard to break and let God begin to do in you and through you. And she looked at me and she said, you know, you're like a wild horse. And God has called you to be a thoroughbred. And he wants to hem you in and take all that passion, take all that unction that you have, all that drive. A lot of it was survival. You know, when you have to survive, you just, you know, you have a drive in you to want to survive. And I remember that day, like, receiving that in my spirit and going, okay, Lord, well, then train me. And God used her, and then God used other women in this church. I remember one of my mentors in this church, I worked for her for a long time. She just hired me to do things for her. And sometimes I wanted more than what she could give me. And I look back, and I want to say something, especially the younger girls that are wanting a mentor. Work is worthy, and work is good for us. And sometimes we don't want to have to do the things that put us in a position to be healed and to be ministered to and to be changed. And in this one particular minister, she went and had coffee with me some. But I worked alongside her, and I learned, and I watched, and I wanted to be like her. And I felt that about everyone that has ever poured into my life, that I wanted to be like them because I held them in such high esteem, like Paul said, like a parent. And I think in mentoring, part of the mentors that I've had, what I think that God may be calling us as a church is that some people need to be reparented. Some people need to be gently reparented and learn how to walk with God. But at the very end, and I'm going to wrap up because I don't want to
take
your
fine.
Time. But at the very end, there was a season where Paul wanted to get to these people, and he had to be torn away from him. He said that Satan opposed, just like you were saying to me, Satan opposed the work. And he said, I wanted to get to you, but I was torn away. That word means orphaned. And really, I was thinking about it. Paul felt like he was orphaned from them. But I think at times, when God is teaching us to spread our wings, when we've been poured into and being taught to fly so that we can go in and now pour into another, like, it can feel like this tearing apart. I mean, we can get really wadded up on the inside. We can become really hurting, and yet God has maybe torn us apart in that season so that we can now pour into another. One of the things I love to do, I have three small children. I have a 3-year-old, 6-year-old, and a 9-year-old. And one of the things, I get my robe and I'll say, okay, get in my wings. And they, or in the morning when I'm doing my quiet time, they'll say, Mama, come here, Sabbath. I want to get in your wings, Mama. And I thought about that. I thought, that's what mentoring is. That's what you and this does. And it's refreshing. So I'm seeing the younger girls in here. You're taking on these high school girls. But basically, there's a birth pains going, please take me under your wing. And then when we've taken people under our wing, then they can fly. Then we pull back as we watch the Lord and let them, release them to fulfill their call. To do what God has called them to do. But I don't know where you are in your season of life, but you're here because you want to pour in to a life of another. Or maybe you need to be poured into and you don't know how this thing works. And I agree with everything that our sister has said. And you just bring people alongside of you. Mm-hmm. You share the gospel. Paul said that we did share the gospel because that's where the life, the word is life. But then we got to see the gospel lived out among the church. And that's what my sweet sister, she just lived Jesus for me. And she wasn't perfect. She struggled. And then the thing is, too, is that then times I got to minister to her. Sometimes our mentees minister to us. They begin to pour back in us. They can see when we're hurt. We need it. And we have to be okay to go, okay, well, you know, I'm not going to look down on you because you're young. Minister to me. Speak a word to me. I need to be encouraged. But it all works together. And it's that thread. Jesus doing what he did for those 12 and pouring into them up until the very day that he went to the cross. And it's such a joy to see that. It's such a joy to take people under our wings and then send them out to fly.
That's awesome. Thank you, Shannon, for sharing that. Vicki Kraft, in her book, Women Mentoring Women, gives a great definition of mentoring. And she says this, she illustrates it as there are two women on a road and it's dark and it's rainy and it's foggy and it's at night. And they're on this road and one woman, the one in front and the car in front, has been down this road many times. She knows the potholes, she knows the railroad tracks, she knows where the ditches are. And so she's traveling this road. The second woman that's coming behind her in the car has never been on this road ever. But what she said in her book is the woman coming behind can travel at a higher rate of speed because she's following someone that's already been on this road. So the headlights of the first car are enabling that second car to follow behind. So when this one moves over, the second one moves over to miss the pothole or to miss the ditch and to turn here and to turn there. And that's what we can do in life. Do you know what qualifies you for mentoring? Do you know what has equipped you for mentoring? You've lived life. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to have a coaching thing. You don't have to know the Bible. You don't have to know all the answers to all the questions they're going to ask you. You just have to have lived longer. That's it. And when you do that, you can help another woman know a little bit about life. You can show her the good and the bad and the ugly. And I really am looking and excited and looking forward to the day that we're getting in is, you know, we don't have to fake it anymore. You know, just like Shannon said, you don't have to wait till my house is perfectly clean that I have a maid to come and clean. Hey, I'm cooking dinner in a casserole. If you want to come over and cook with me, and then you can clean up with me, and this is how we do dinner at my house, and this is how we do life together. And the sweetest thing, I could just tell you so many stories, just on and on, having been a part of a mentoring relationship in some form or some fashion for the last 15 years. I could tell you so many stories, but I want to tell you for sure, too, and hopefully we have time, we'll get time to some questions and things. When you begin to open up your life, whether you're going to mentor someone or whether you're going to be mentored by someone, it is amazing how the Lord will bring you what you need if you'll just be obedient, if you'll just step out, if you'll just have a willing spirit is really all that he's asking for. Would you be willing? In God's word, there are only about three times where the Lord is asking women to do a specific and a certain thing for him, very particular thing, and mentoring is one of those. And I don't know about you, but when he comes for me, I want to be found doing what he has asked me to do. But no, I find myself running off doing all kind of other things he never asked me to do, and I'm not fulfilled. You know where I'm fulfilled? Is right here. And I'm telling you that there are places, there are heart, the heart of a woman is wired. It's wired, and it has needs that only another woman can meet. I have the sweetest man you will ever want to meet on the face of this earth. He is a teddy bear. He treats me like a queen. I'm spoiled rotten, all that stuff. I just am. But there have been times in my life where, try as he may, he could not help me. He could not do for me what I needed. After my mom died, I struggled terribly with depression, and I had a little 5-week-old baby, so I'm sure some of that was postpartum depression. I didn't know the first thing about it, though, because I'd never had really not wired to be depressed. I'm wired to be wired. You know, I'm just kind of a happy person. I have a great outlook on life. I'm just wired like that. I'm like, I just love it. I just love life. I just love the Lord. But I found myself in a place, I was furious with the Lord, and I didn't speak to him for months. I didn't speak to him. And so there I had this little baby boy, and I was a stay-at-home mom at that time and made that decision. And I'll never forget this. I can see this like this happened yesterday. And this has been, well, 25 years ago, because my son is about to be 25. My husband worked in the field of dialysis, and he came home from work one day, had a blue scrub on when he came home from work that day. And when he walked through the door, I was on the couch, yet crying my eyes out another day. My little boy was I put a blanket on the floor, and he was just on the floor, entertaining his own self. And I could not pull myself together off of that couch. I had clothes to wash. I had dinner to do. I had a house to clean. I had a Bible to read. I had people to talk to. I didn't do any of that. And my husband came in after he worked 12-hour shifts in dialysis. And he came through the door, and I just was bawling on the couch. He walked over to where I was laying down on the couch, and he knelt down there where I was. And he said, "Just tell me what I can do. If you'll just tell me what to do, I will do it." And I just shrugged my shoulders. I don't know. I've done everything I know to do. I don't know. It is the cutest thing. We were poor. Poor as dirt. I mean, those days, we didn't even know we were. But we were. We were just poor. We should eat a hamburger helper without the hamburger. I mean, we did. We were so in love, we just did not know. But we wanted to stay home with that baby boy, and we just made that happen. So we ate a lot of bologna sandwiches and hamburger helper without hamburger. And so it was so there I am laying on that couch, and he pulled out his wallet. I'll never forget, it was a green Velcro wallet. Pulled open his wallet. He had $12 in his wallet. And he handed out, he said, "Just go buy yourself something." And I'd be like, as if I can be bought. See, he knows I could. Up until that point, that had worked really very well. You know, just give me some money, let me buy myself something. You know, I'll feel better. And just, but he, in his, that was his attempt, y'all, as a man to go, "I'll give you everything that I have. I'll take the last dollar to try to fix you." You know what I'm saying? Just, "I don't know what else to give you. I will give you everything I have to make you better." It was just the sweetest thing, but I did not know how to fix it. I'd been getting a call from a lady at our church. Her name was Shirley, asking me how I was doing, because, see, Shirley had lost her mother when her little daughter was just 2 years old. And so Shirley knew some of what I was going through, and she kept calling me and asking how I was doing. And I told her I was fine. I was fine, but she knew better because she had told that lie. So one day, Miss Shirley called, and I made quick conversation with her on the phone. "Hey, doing fine? I'm a little busy. Got a little baby. You know, just anything you need? No? Okay, get off the phone." You know, I mean, I didn't want to talk to Shirley. I didn't want to talk to anybody. So Shirley calls one day, and she said, "I'm going to just call to check on you. How you doing? I'm fine. Need a little busy. Got a little baby." And she said, "I know that you're busy. I know you have a baby, but I just need you to know before you hang up, I'm going to be at your house at 2 o'clock today. So you're going to need to make some plans, because I'm going to come over there at 2, and I'm going to stay till 5. I will see you shortly." And hung up the phone. I'm like, well, Shirley, she's about 30 years my senior, you know, at that point. So all you could say was, "Yes, ma'am." I mean, I don't know what to say to her. It's like, "I don't want you to come over. I don't want to see you at 2 o'clock. She knocked on my door. She walked through the door very matter of fact. She put $25 in my hand. She said, "I want you to leave here. You go get your hair done. You go get your nails done. You go buy yourself something. You go eat somewhere. I don't care what you do, but don't show back up at this house till 5 o'clock. And scooted me right on, like, run on. Scooted me right on out the door. Well, I had not left my home since my mother's funeral. If groceries needed to be bought, I sent my husband. Can you believe that? Work a 12-hour shift. Here's your grocery list. You need to, you know, I'm staying on. But I didn't want to get out, because I didn't want to see people, because they kept going on with life like nothing had happened to me. And she made me leave. This is the honest truth. I drove down and sat at the end of my neighborhood for an hour and a half, because I didn't know where to go. I did not know what to do. I don't remember what I did. Drove around a little bit. Came back at 5 o'clock. Couldn't wait to get back in the house. I came back in. Miss Shirley said, "Well, I hope you had a good time. I'll see you next Tuesday, 2 o'clock, and walked out the door. And so I stood there for a moment, and then I realized she had cooked supper. It was in the oven. She had cooked supper in there. Clothes had been washed. They were folded on the side of the couch. Beds had been made. Things had been straightened up, things I should have been doing but didn't have the energy or the emotion to do it. I began to walk around my house a little bit, and I went into the refrigerator, and on my water bottle was a scripture. Just on an index card, just a scripture. While she was with me, she never said, "Sit down, let's open the Bible. Now let me pray. Your mother's in a better place, and God has a purpose." And she didn't say any of that. But when she left, I found these little index cards all through my house. That night, I got ready to go to bed, and I pulled out where my pajamas are, a little index card right there on my pajamas, just a little scripture. Walked into the bathroom and lifted the lid to the commode, and there was one taped on the lid. I said, "Honey, this one's for you. I think this one's probably for you." You know, and so everywhere I looked. About 3 days later, I lifted up the butter dish. There's a scripture taped inside the thing you lift up in the refrigerator for your butter. Scripture's all over my house. Next Tuesday, 2 o'clock, Miss Shirley came. I had to leave. Didn't come back till 5 o'clock. And we started this little dance together, if you will. And pretty soon, I stopped being gone as long, and we started staying. She knew I couldn't take too much at that point. And she knew at first you got to get out and do life. You got to go to the grocery store and you got to do stuff. Then you got to learn to do it with your baby. And she walked me through. You know how I got out of that? You know how I got out of depression? Do you know how I got out of a situation in my marriage? Miss Shirley walked me out of it every Tuesday about 2 o'clock. From about 2 to about 5. We started doing Bible study together. Then we started praying together. She helped me get over my anger with the Lord. She helped me to get through that. I did not know what to do. I did not know how to do, nor did my husband. I had met with my pastor. It wasn't my pastor that helped me. It wasn't some self-help book. It wasn't 12 steps of grieving. All of those things are important. You know what the most important thing you can do is? Get with another woman who has been there. Just get yourself with another woman. And now, when someone loses their mom, they have little kids around their ankles, you know what I do? I'm going to be over Tuesday about 2 o'clock. Hang up the phone. The Lord knows what you need, and He has provided what you need. It's usually wearing a dress. It's usually in the form of another woman. Now, let me tell you another story of how the Lord has changed my life through this mentoring program. At Willow Point Baptist Church, we had an official mentoring program, and I think Carolyn and the ministry team here is going to be rolling that out in the near future, an official mentoring program where you will match up older women with younger women. It's the best thing that you could ever be a part of in your life. And so I've been doing that at Willow Point for a number of years, and I'm very serious about mentoring, and you'll see in the program here, you can list on a profile sheet what you're interested in. Do you want to just get to know someone in a different generation, or do you want really maybe ongoing discipleship where you sit at your kitchen table and ask the hard questions? Where in this range do you want to be? Because this ministry is for you no matter what it is you're looking for. But they just kind of need to know. And so at Willow Point in the mentoring ministry, I was the serious person. I was the one that by this point, I want to be discipled. Let's get our Bibles out. I want to come to your kitchen table, and I want us to go through James together, or book of the Bible together. That's what I loved. And I'd come with my three highlighters, my three colored pencils, and, you know, I'm getting my notebook and my Bible. I loved that about mentoring women, just pouring into me spiritually. But this one particular year, after having been in it 6 years, which I loved, I mean, it's just, I was thriving. I was thriving under those friendships. They matched me with Miss Bernice. When we found out our match, meet your match, I was matched with Miss Bernice. Now, I have full permission for Miss Bernice to tell you this story. I was sorely disappointed. I'm like, why would y'all match me with Bernice? Bernice was the class clown at our church. She was the one always goofing off. She was the one that was always making jokes. She was always doing stuff. She wore flip-flops to church. I don't know why that bothered me, but it just did. She's a very wealthy woman, and she wore flip-flops to church. I don't know why that bothered me, but it bothered me. And so Bernice and I were as opposite as night and day. We did not have one thing in common. And they matched with Bernice. I'm going like, you didn't read my sheet. Did you read my sheet? Like what I'm interested in and what I want out of a relationship, because, you know, you made a mistake here. Apparently there's another Debbie around that you got this confused. And sure enough, I questioned it. I asked them, I think y'all made a mistake. They're like, no, we didn't. So I was matched with Bernice. So we sat down at our table. We're getting to know one another. We didn't have one single thing in common. I'm like, okay, Miss. Now, Bernice, when are we going to meet again? You know, like, what are we going to do? We're going to study a book of the Bible together? We're going to do a Bible study together? She said, no, we're not going to do any Bible studies together. No, we're not going to do none of that. And here I am with all my highlighters. I'm ready. Got my notebook. I'm ready to do my. I'm a serious student here. I'm structured like that. And I said, well, when are we going to meet? Because I have like two calendars. You know, I mean, Miss Bernice didn't even own a calendar. She didn't even know what a things to do list was. She's never put a check by anything in her life. And I'm like, I will ask you this and mark it off my checklist just so I can get a check by. You know, ask Bernice what she's going to do. Yeah, check. You know, this is the way my life is wired. And she said, tell you what we're going to do. Let's do this. She said, next Tuesday, or no, actually, we met on Thursday. She said, next Thursday, I want you to meet me at 4 o'clock on Kings Highway at the Southern Made Donut. 4 o'clock at the Southern Made Donut. You know about Southern Made Donut. I'm like, what? She said, yep, see you at 4 o'clock. Okay, bye. You know, I'm like, I need some information, okay? I need details. I need... So Thursday comes, 4 o'clock. I go to the Southern Made Donut at Kings Highway where she told me to go. Now, just for safety's sake, I still have my satchel with me. I still have my bag, which has my Bible and my notebook, all my highlighters, my markers, and my pens, thinking we might get to something spiritual here, you know. And so I go in and I put my stuff down, and she said, the reason we come at 4 o'clock is that's when the hot donuts come off the rack. And here they come up the rack. We watched them through a window. They come. Have you seen this? They come up through this rack, and they go under this rainfall of icing, and they come out around the bend, and you can get hot Southern Made Donuts. So she got us hot Southern Made Donuts, and she gave me some coins. She said, now go to this old Coke machine. They had an antique Coke machine with the little bitty bottled Cokes that had the Coke opener on the machine. She said, now go and get the third one down. It's Diet Coke, and it's going to have ice in it. The third one down always has ice. So I went, put my 35 cents in, and pulled the lever and opened it with a bottle of, and we sat there for an hour and a half and ate hot Southern Made Donuts and ice cold Diet Coke. Miss Bernice told me every joke she's ever heard. She told me every crazy nut thing she had ever done in her life. She drugged me to more garage sales. Never been a garage sale in my life. I went to thrift stores with her. I went to all kinds of places. We never did a Bible study together. Miss Bernice and I, she never opened the Bible with me. I don't think Miss Bernice ever even prayed over me during our particular relationship. But I'll tell you this, I've never had more fun in my life than I had with Miss Bernice Harvey. And here's the deal with that. The point I want to make in all that. The Lord knew what I needed in my life. The Bible says that laughter is good medicine. And he knew I needed a dose, because little Miss Debbie Stewart was taking life a little too seriously. Everything in my life was structured, and there's no time to play, and life is not going to be fun, and this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it. And I mean, everything was just over the top that way. And I did not live life to the fullest. For crying out loud, I missed out on hot Southern Made donuts and ice cold Diet Coke. I didn't even know that existed. And so Miss Bernice introduced me to all kinds of things. I didn't even know. The first roller coaster I ever rode was Bernice Harvey. She loved amusement parks, and she loved roller coasters, and she made me get on one with her. And I'm like, you know, at first I'm like, this is such a waste. I thought the things that she was doing was such a waste of time. This is such a waste of time. It was so fun. And so then, boy, I learned to enjoy life. I learned to be spontaneous. Today, I have a little sense of humor today. Do you know where that came from? It did not come from my genetic makeup. It came from Bernice Harvey. That's where it came from, because she built laughter into my life, and I loved it. I needed it, but I didn't know I needed it. See, I thought they made a mistake where the Lord said, I'm going to give you what you need, not what you want, but what you need in this mentoring relationship. Me and Miss Bernice were like this to this very day. And then my next mentoring relationship, when I got matched with the person this particular year, I was a mentor. They had a lot of younger girls, so I was a mentor. We called them mentors and Mereas, M-E-R-E-A. Merea is a Hebrew term that means my young friend. So mentor and Merea. So they matched me up with a girl who was just like me. She was like Debbie Stewart Jr. She had her satchel. She had her calendar. She had her highlighter. She had all of her markers, and she had her Bible. She said, I'm so glad I matched with you. I just love you. I just love what you do. I love your teaching. What do you want to study? When do you want me to be at your house? I'll be there 5 minutes early, and I just tell me what we're going to do. I said, here's what we're going to do. I want you to meet me down at Southern Made Donut. About 4 o'clock. She's like, huh? And I didn't respond. I said, I will meet you at the Southern Made Donut on Kings Highway at 4 o'clock on Thursday. And she's like, what? You know, that's she came. Sure enough, she came with her satchel, little Miss Debbie. She came with all of her stuff, thinking we were going to do something spiritual. And that day, we didn't. Now, there's balance in all of that. You know what I'm saying? But at that point in my life, the Lord knew, I got to get a hold of this girl, or she is going to wind out of control. She is going to burn out. She's going to wind if I don't get a hold of this. And so looking back over all of my mentoring relationships, the Lord has provided what I have needed. And that's what he does for you if you will be willing, if you'll be just willing to step out. We've got just a few minutes. Let me give you this one more story. This didn't happen to me. This happened in the mentoring ministry we did at Prestonwood. To show you how the Lord works and how much He loves this and what the lengths that He will go to meet your needs. We had one lady matched up. The mentor was Miss Elizabeth Temples. I forget the younger girl's name. This is about 2 years ago. And so they were matched up in the mentoring relationship. And the younger girl came to church and she sat with her kids and everything at church. But according to the profile sheet, Miss Elizabeth knew that she was married. So she asked her one afternoon when they were meeting, she said, "Now, what about your husband? I see you're married, but I've never seen him. I've never met him. I don't see him at church. Does he work on the weekends or what?" And she said, she told Miss Elizabeth that her husband was very much overweight and he was obese and they were saving money for him to have a bariatric type surgery that would help him, but they weren't going to do that to the end of the year. And he felt very uncomfortable coming out, and because he didn't have dress clothes. He had work clothes, but that's all that he had, and which was a uniform, but he didn't have dress clothes and things like that. And so he just didn't come to church. He watched on TV. And so she said, "Well, what? I want to meet him. Come bring him to our, we'll have dinner, bring him to the house, wear shorts, whatever, no big deal. But bring the kids and bring your husband over." And so they came over to dinner that night and they got to talking about this. Well, Miss Elizabeth's husband, what the younger girl did not know and what Miss Elizabeth could not have known about this younger girl's husband is Miss Elizabeth's husband had also been obese, very much overweight, and had also had a surgery to reduce his weight 4 years prior. But Miss Elizabeth had kept all of his clothes in a closet, a spare closet down the hall. And the husband asked, "Well, what if you don't mind, what size you wear? Because I used to wear the size," and he gave off the size, and he said, That's the size I wear." So he said, "Come down with me." And they walked down the end of the hall, and Miss Elizabeth took him into a room where all those clothes were. And she said, "I cannot tell you how many times when I'm cleaning house and cleaning this room, I think, I should give these to Goodwill. I don't need these clothes anymore. My husband's never going to be this size. We're not going to use them. I should give them to Goodwill." And she said, "I've always had the thought, no, you might need them at one point." And so her, Maria's husband, went into that room and tried on all of those clothes that fit him perfectly. And he was sitting beside his family in church the next Sunday. There are things like that. That's not written on a profile sheet. Those are things that you don't know and she doesn't know, but God knows. God knows a need, and He's using another woman to provide that need. I could tell you more and more stories. We have about 10 minutes. What questions might you have? What concerns or obstacles? I have 1 minute. Oh, I thought we went to 10:15 in this session. Oh, yeah, we get to go to 10:15 in this session. Okay, good. No, that's fine. What questions, what concerns, is there anything that's not clear to you about mentoring, what it is, what it is not? Anybody else want to share a little testimony or story if you've been involved? Raise your hand if you've been involved in a mentoring relationship of some kind, okay? Several in this room, okay, have. All right. Any questions, any thoughts about it? Yes, just want to clarify. Okay. Let me help you with that. And thank you for speaking up. I'm going to give you a little gift card. You cash that in at the end of the last session. They'll give you a gift card for that. So thanks for participating. That's happened from time to time when you're matched with someone and maybe they have gone through a situation that you've never been through. Well, here's the deal with networking with women. The thing that she has gone through, another woman has gone through. You just have to find it. And so what I would do is bring that other one into our relationship. For instance, I have parented a prodigal. A lot of people haven't done that, but some have. And so another friend of mine that was in a mentoring relationship, her son began to really go wayward. But this woman's son never had. I mean, he was a preacher at a church. So she called me. She said, "Debbie, would you have lunch with us and help me walk this through?" So not only did the mentor get to hear some information on what another side of raising a son looks like that goes wayward or has a rebellious spirit, but I got to mentor to that young woman because I knew exactly what was going on in her life and the life of that son. So you might not be through that particular thing, but I will say this. Pain is pain. Grief is grief. Disappointment is disappointment. Betrayal is betrayal. Yours might look one way and be packaged in a certain way. Mine might be packaged in a different way. So what I like to do as well is get to God's word. What does He say about disappointment? What does he say he will do in our times of weakness? And so even though it looks a little different, if she needs specific help, get someone who specifically can help her into y'all's relationship for a little bit. But other than that, talk about the pain of the situation and what the Lord has to say about it so that she does not get stuck. The biggest hindrance to completing God's plan and purpose for your life, for women, no matter what age, the biggest hindrance is that we get stuck. Something happens along the way, a painful experience, something unexpected, or something doesn't happen. Like with my mom, I begged God to heal my mom of cancer. That didn't happen. I got stuck. So sometimes things in life happen that get us stuck. Sometimes things don't happen that we wish would happen, that we pray that would happen, that we work toward, we fast, we pray, we do everything we can, and it doesn't happen. And you get sideways with the Lord. You can get stuck. That's what the enemy seeks to do. He just seeks to keep you stuck all the time so that you don't make progress in the will of God for your life. That's why we need each other. I had somebody come into my life and help me get unstuck. You had a question.
Now, I have a situation where I have an elderly aunt.
Okay.
She's 86. And my husband and I have been really ministering to her for 3 years. And, I mean, we've been praying that she come live with us. And she's like, no, I don't want to. Well, now, as of 3 days ago, she has to live with us because a big, long story.
Okay.
She has cancer, and I'm taking her to radiation every day.
Okay.
Okay, and she's so angry at God, and, you know, that's the whole story with her.
Yeah. 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 Right. Okay, let's do that. Would you pass that back to her? Thank you for sharing that very personal story. certainly those things will come up in life, and sometimes it's even a little more difficult when it's family. But what I've learned in situations like that is when someone finds themselves hopeless, and maybe they're not only the older person, maybe they've been a Christian a lot longer than you have. What you do is speak truth into their life. Speak truth over them. The reason people are hopeless is, get this, Sherlock Holmes, it's they've lost hope. Okay, so somebody's got to have hope and faith. Somebody's got to work and walk on their behalf. That gets to be you. So in a situation like that, and this has happened not to that degree, and it wasn't a family relative, but I prayed over that person, and I would say to that person, I've got faith enough for both of us. I would look her in the face and say, I know you have lost faith. I know you have lost hope. You know what? That's okay for right now. I've got faith enough for both of us. And that's when I would begin to speak truth into her life. And like the lady put scriptures on index cards for me, I wrote in a journal to her. So like if she were going to do a radiation, I don't know the situation, but what I did when this particular woman, we would part ways, I had a journal for her, and I would write things to her in this journal. I would write scriptures in there. I would write prayers over her. I would write promises in God's word, and then I would ask her to write back to me. I said, this is how I'm feeling right now about you. I want you to write back how you're feeling. So the next time we would get together, she would give me the journal. Now, I didn't open it up and read it right there in front of her. I'd say, thank you. Thank you for writing down your innermost thoughts and your feelings. This is precious to me. This is my most prized possession. She felt valued, and I'd begin to read hers, and it was anger, it was depression, it was hopelessness. And so I'd write her back, and she'd write me back, and I'd write her back, she'd write me back. What do you think happened? Absolutely. She needed to get that out. She needed a safe place to vent. She didn't know that's what it was. That's not what we called it. But she began to put that down on paper, and it landed in a safe place. And when it was fear, when it was anger, whatever her deal was, I would address it right out of God's word. And it wasn't like God's word says this. I just want to pray this scripture over you. And I'd make the scripture in the form of a prayer. Dear Lord, your word says in Psalms 138 that you will perfect that which concerns us. And I'm asking you today that you'll begin to bring perfection through this tragedy and make the word of God come alive and personal to them. So see, you're getting that in, they're getting their junk out, then you're getting something else good in. The word and the truth is coming in. And look, where there's truth, darkness cannot stay very long. darkness, you just can't. And so that's just one way, if that makes sense. So I don't want you to think of official. How do I mentor? Just don't think of it like, and I don't want really anybody to think of things like an official capacity. Yes, there might be an official program here. There will be. But really, it's helping somebody get out of a ditch. So you have to identify the qualities, characteristics, what is their ditch, what's in play in their life. Have they been betrayed by a husband? Have they gotten cancer? What has happened? Address it out of God's word in a personal, practical way. Does that make sense to you? Okay.
How do you balance the line between confiding and complaining?
No. Yeah. Okay. Well, here's how I do that. And again, it depends on the person and the personality. So the last girl that did that with me, we had a serious mentoring relationship. She came into my office. We spent an hour together every Monday morning. And so when she would come into my office for an hour, and that was my time to invest in her and to pour into her. Well, when she started into the hour together, we would start with prayer, and we'd talk about the issues that she's having difficulty with, the challenges that she is facing, and the areas that she wants to grow in. Well, when I would ask her, what challenges are you facing, what areas you want to grow in, well, venom started coming out. Well, I need this, and my husband did this, and my kids won't do this, and everything was about complaining and whining. So then I had to say, okay, time out. Here's what we're going to do. When I ask you these questions, you've got 15 minutes. If we're going to have an hour together, you don't get the whole hour complaining and whining, because that doesn't help anything. You get 15 minutes to walk me through the problem, whatever the issue. If it's a major marriage issue that y'all just had last night, you got 15 minutes, child. So you better talk fast and talk important, because we're going to spend the first 15 minutes talking about the problem, then we're going to spend the next 15 minutes talking about the solution. Don't let people always talk the problem. You got to talk the solution. Okay, if this is the problem, now I know it. Here's the solution. That's the next 15 minutes. The next 15 minutes are your homework. This is your action steps. If this is the problem, this is the solution. These are the things that you're going to need to do. You don't give them 10 things. You don't give them more than 3. So these are your action steps. I'm going to need you to do this, this, and this by the next time, by next Monday, by the next time that we meet. So whatever those action steps are, she needs to do. We spend the last 10 or 15 minutes in prayer and to end on a happy note in that way or something like that. So you might have to bring structure. Like with her, I'm going, time out. We're going to sit here and gripe and complain. Because the Bible says do all things without whining and complaining, without griping and grumbling. And so you have to bring them back into balance. It might be your job to bring some balance. Now, if she comes back next Monday and has not done one of those action steps, I'm going to address that issue with her. Because the problem is, you got to get serious, girls, you got to get serious about your walk with the Lord. You got to be serious. I'm more than willing to pour into your life, but I'm not going to play a game with you. And if you're not going to, you know, I can't fix your life. Sorry. Despite what Oprah says and the new show that's out there, Fix My Life. Sorry, you can't fix somebody else's life. You can point them in the right direction. You can give them the tools. You can give them the how-tos. You can pray them through. But you yourself cannot go in and make her walk with the Lord. You cannot make her choose right. You cannot make her speak correctly to her husband or make good financial decisions. That's what she's going to do. Those are her choices that she's making. So I call them into, if they want to be serious, then don't play games. Let's get serious. And if you want to have a growth spurt, let's do it. But if you're not going to be serious, I'm sorry. I need to spend my time with somebody who is. Sorry. Does that make sense? I mean, I know that might sound harsh, but I've told some girls that this is the third week you've come and you've not done one action step. You're wasting your time, you're wasting my time, and you're wasting the Lord's time. Here's what I want you to do. You got one action step. You go and get with the Lord and figure out what you're going to do from this point forward. If you want to get serious, you want to stop playing games, you want to get the rubber hit the road, come back and see me next Monday. If you're not willing to pay the price, don't come back. Don't come back into this office. You got to, that's truth. You got to speak truth. Carolyn?
Sometimes there's no change until we become filthy.
Absolutely. Scared her to death. She said, I'm so sorry. I'm so, you know, and she was in my office, hadn't done, did all those action steps. And you know what happened? Things changed for her very quickly. You know what? Because she had a change. She had a change. Somebody held her accountable and said, you know what? And part of that, sometimes it's moms and daughters. And her mom had let her get away for a lot of years with pouty, whiny, rescuing her out of problems and fixing her stuff. I'm not doing that. And you see where she was? Now she's made a mess of her life because her mom did not hold her accountable to the consequences of her choices. There are consequences to your choices. And when you make great choices and you do the right thing, there's blessing. There's reward for that. You got to help that to play out in somebody's life. All right, one more, and then I got to dismiss y'all.
It's not a question, it's an observation.
Yeah.
When you spend time, you know, you don't have to spiritually lead somebody. You can just spend time getting to know an older generation or a younger.
That's exactly right.
Spending time with God in the church.
Yeah.
Helping her do some data entry for a trip. And just something she said to me today stopped, and she didn't even know she said it.
Yeah.
So you can just have fun relationships and learn.
Absolutely. Just doing life together. That's what mentoring is. Let's pray. Father, just thinking today about the relationships from the past, thinking about Julie and Sandra and Miss Sue Byers, so many that you have brought into my life that are a part of my makeup. They're a part of my life, and I just thank you for that. Lord, I want to repay that. I want to do more in pouring in the life of this younger generation because I believe they're the ones that you're going to use to turn this world upside down like you say in Acts. So, Lord, I pray for Carolyn. I pray for her mentoring ministry team. I pray for the women at this church that they'll get serious, that they'll begin to open their lives up to one another, step into each other's lives, and begin to do life together. Would you please bless them? Would you please reward that abundantly? And would you please start changing the course of history as we do? In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you, girls, for... Oh, yeah, it certainly is. Thank you. The book, 20 Minutes a Day, that's what I walk a lot of my girls through, especially those that do not know how to walk with the Lord. It's a workbook style, so we do that together, and there are five different learning styles. And I brought some. They're $5, and for each one that you buy, a woman in Dawson Prison also gets one, and we're taking those into the prison ministry every Monday. So it's just the honor system. You can put $5 or a check to Debbie Stewart in that envelope, and let's start mentoring. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate it. No, I never have. Okay, I want to tell y'all one more thing that she just reminded me about. I have been to the Monster National Truck thing with Bernice Harvey. Have y'all ever been to the National Monster Truck Rally or whatever they call it with Bernice Harvey? I've been to the rodeo with Bernice Harvey. We've been all over the place.